Jesus. Give him praise. Well, I love this time of year. Did everyone enjoy Christmas? I enjoyed Christmas. We drove past our house that we're trying to sell at the moment on Christmas Day. We have sold our house. We actually were praying, and I had three people in this church. I love this church. Come to me and say, "I believe you're going to sell your house. We sold our house in 2 weeks, but I believe you're going to sell your house in under a week." We put it on the market. Within 6 days, we had a contract signed for the price that we wanted on the house. Praise the Lord. And so it's just come unconditional. And we drove past on Christmas Day. And who enjoyed the bit of action, the storm on Christmas Day? Our fence blew over on Christmas Day, like fully broken, blew over our fence. I know, wild, right? Well, I'm gonna claim that as a prophetic symbol that the winds of the Spirit are blowing mightily in Mackay, that breakthrough is coming in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We repaired it. Thank you, Dad and Tony and Alyssa, for your help. We got in there and repaired the fence. It was good. Is anyone familiar with the story of Jesus and Peter close to Jesus's capture? Do you know what Peter did to the Roman soldier, one of the Roman soldiers? Do you know what he did with his, he pulled out a dagger as they tried to capture Jesus, and he cut off what? He cut off this guy's ear. Man, I love Christians, hey. Come on, I think some of us need to get a little bit more like in us. He cut off a soldier's ear, and it created an opportunity for Jesus to do a miracle even in the midst of those who were trying to capture him, and that would lead him to be crucified. And I wonder if Jesus was here today, I wonder what he would say if that incident happened today. I wonder if he would pick up that soldier's ear, and he would lift it into the air and look the soldier in the eyes and say, "Happy New Year." Come on. Oh, I thought that was a good one. Oh. You were expecting something powerful, weren't you? Well, you're wrong. Very wrong. All right. Matthew. Chapter 1, I want to continue a part 2 of a message I shared just a few weeks ago around the theme of Christmas. And the reason I want to share this last part of the message, I could have preached something different. I was tossing up between sharing something more specific into the new year, but I really sensed in my heart that the greatest way we could end this year and enter into a new one would be to fall more in love with Jesus than ever before. I pray for you that in the new year, you would encounter Jesus in new ways. So many people set New Year's resolutions. Some they achieve, some they don't achieve, most of which are selfish. But how good would it be if a few hundred people in this room decided to set some New Year's resolutions around growing in their relationship with the Lord? I wonder how Mackay would be transformed if more people set some New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've read the Bible here and there, but you're gonna set a New Year's resolution to say, "You know what? I'm gonna read a chapter of the Bible every day." Maybe that's easy for you. Maybe you do a few chapters in the morning and a few chapters at night, but you set a New Year's resolution to say, "I am going to grow in God for the sake of my family, for the sake of my future, for the sake of my friends and the people in my community. I'm going to be a powerful Christian that's not backpedaling, but that's running after Jesus with everything I've got." I pray that this year you would fall more in love with Jesus than ever before. I don't care if you don't love Christianity, I pray that you love Christ. I don't mind if you don't love every detail of our church, but I pray that you love the presence of God here within and the people of God that have come to worship Him. So if you want to go deeper in the things of God in the new year, And I pray you'd listen in to this message today, what we share, and I pray that you'd have a revelation of the glory of Christ. Amen. He is so great. He is so wonderful. There is so much more to grow and learn about Him. You could spend all your days studying and searching and praying and spending time with the Lord, and you still wouldn't even get close to reaching the end of the knowledge of Christ. There is so much glory to be found in His presence, in Him. And so in this sermon I shared the other week, we looked at the Christmas story, the Nativity, and we talked about the divinity of Jesus, meaning how Jesus is the divine one, that He is the God-man, He is the Savior of the world, that God became man to reach us. We shared that He is the image of the invisible God, as Colossians says. And we looked at the Nativity story, and we looked at it through the eyes of Mary and Joseph, and how Mary and Joseph carried Jesus into the world. Mary had the hard part. Come on, ladies, we all know Mary had the hard part. She was the one really carrying it. Joseph was the one walking the donkey. But from their life, we learn that sometimes you have to sacrifice your reputation amongst others in order to carry Jesus. Sometimes you have to sacrifice being misunderstood or unknown or gossiped about or talked about in order to build your reputation with God. We then looked at it through the eyes of the shepherds and the angels and how they responded. How did they respond to Emmanuel, God with us? They responded with worship and adoration. The angels opened up the sky, the shepherds saw them, and the angels started rejoicing. For God has revealed Himself through this baby. And the shepherds responded in worship. And we learned from that the greatest heavenly experience you could come close to on earth is to stand in the presence of the Lord and worship Him. It's one of the greatest and most beautiful experiences we could have in our life when we open our hearts and lift our eyes to Jesus. And today, we're going to read a little bit more about it through the life of the wise men. The wise men, the Magi. Not the Maggie, the Magi. All right, so let's turn to Matthew 1. Are we there? Yeah, here we go. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm excited to share this today. Matthew chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, speak to me, Holy Spirit. Amen. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Are you ready? All right. I want you to hold your page and turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. All right, it says this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Isn't that wild? They came in saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? And they're saying this to a king. They're bold. For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. These wise men must have had authority in their words, the fact that they troubled the king and all of Jerusalem with him. This is a very interesting scenario here. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ, meaning the anointed one, was to be born. And they told him this, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets. So it is written by the prophets. So let's pause here for a moment. Why was it prophesied that Jesus, the anointed one, would be born in Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? In Hebrew, the city's name is pronounced Bet Lechem. Bet Lechem. There are two words used here. Bet means house, and Lechem means bread. Together it means house of bread. Somebody say bread. Jesus said at one point in his life, I am the bread of life. Come on, somebody, are you getting this morning? He said, I am the manna that comes down from heaven. Come on. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Throughout the Bible, bread carries great symbolic and literal significance. So why the house of bread? Why Bethlehem? Why is this significant? Even this, some of you don't know this, but in this small town, Gentiles were married into the Jewish nation. Whoa! Is anybody seeing the significance of this? Gentiles were married into the Jewish nation by the example of Ruth and Boaz. In other words, it was believed that in Bethlehem, people who were far off became children of God through marriage. Isn't God's word amazing? That the bread of life was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. God set this whole thing up in the prophets declared it in the Old Testament hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was even born and declared himself to be the bread of life. Here we see it. Jesus, the bread of life, born in a town called the house of bread so that humanity would no longer have to suffer in spiritual hunger anymore. Come on, praise God. No religion, no riches, no spiritual rituals, not even a church can sustain your starving soul. So stop searching the world for something to eat and come to the bread of life. Man, we could end there. There's a gospel message in that. That Christ, the anointed one, was born in the house of bread. Amen. All right, let's pick it up. Verse 5. Matthew 2, verse 5. They told him, in Bethlehem, Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men. Hey, Leanne, you're amazing. That sounds so beautiful. I was enjoying it, but I just realized you're still there. You're welcome to take a seat if you'd like to. You can sit on stage and just get a rear view or whatever you want. It's all good. Get comfy. Thank you, Leanne. All right. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly ascertained from them. Well, I was like, that's a big word. Help me, Jesus. Too many, chocolate balls on Christmas Day. Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it arose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's a good response. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. These are very wise men that with their words troubled Israel. And here they come falling down to worship a baby, to worship Jesus. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So how did King Herod and the wise men respond to Emmanuel, God with us? Let's start with King Herod first. Naughty boy King Herod. How did he respond? He wanted to kill Jesus. He wanted Jesus not to be found. He wanted Jesus not to be seen. He didn't want the threat of a king rising up to take his throne. But Jesus wasn't interested in his shiny throne. He wants to sit on the throne of his people's hearts. We see here King Herod coming against them, but that doesn't stop the wise men. They continue on their way. They could sense King Herod's trouble. They could sense his fear. It doesn't stop them. Persecution won't stop them. Troubles, obstacles won't stop them. They're doing whatever it takes to come and see King Jesus. They brought their gifts to the feet of Jesus. So what gifts did they bring? What was the first one? Gold. Come on. What's the second one? Frankincense. When I was a kid, I don't know why, but I somehow related frankincense to Frankenstein and I didn't like that gift, okay? Don't know why, don't know how. I don't know if it was his perfume that he used or what, but gold, frankincense. What was the last one? Myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they bring these gifts? Was it random? Was it a last minute gift that they couldn't find at home? No, these were wise men. They were very calculated. They knew what they were doing. I don't think they just scuffled around in their bags to find the best gift they could bring. I think they were calculated in what they brought to this king, so much so that they would lay their treasures down and worship him. Gold, we see, the gift of gold, these are all prophetic symbols of the life, purpose, and the future that this child would live, the future that this child would bring. And so the gift of gold was prophetic symbolism of his kingship, of his authority, and his glory. The gift of gold declares Jesus is king of the universe. The gift of frankincense. Frankincense was used for worship in the temple. It was an aroma that was lifted up and used as worship in the temple. The frankincense is a prophetic symbolism of Christ, our high priest, that he would be the one that through the life of this child, he would be the one to connect and intercede for humanity, restore them to relationship with the Father. He is our priest. We don't need to go to a pastor. We don't need to go to a saint. We don't need to go to a special holy man. You can come straight to Jesus. He is our priest. The myrrh, the gift of myrrh. Myrrh was a perfume used to anoint dead bodies. It is symbolic of his death. Jesus, the lamb that was slain so that we might be saved. It's symbolic that he would one day die for the sins of the world. I love this. I saw a short study that Louis Giglio, a preacher, did on the myrrh tree, and I have to share it with you this morning. So myrrh comes from a tree called the comifora tree, which grows in North Africa and India. It's a very thorny tree. It is extremely thorny tree. It specifically grows, and as it grows, the bark of the tree is pierced by the thorns. Come on, this is interesting, man. Pierced by the thorns, and the sap that flows out of the bark of this tree is called a drip or a drop. And as it starts to oxidize, it turns into a dark red color. it's crimson looking in its color, and as it oxidizes it, it starts to turn dark red and solidifies, and the extract of this is called myrrh. This sap from the comifora tree is what we know as myrrh. This sap extract has been used for thousands of years as an antiseptic and can be used to cleanse a wound. And around the time of Jesus, it was well known and used even as a healing ointment. Come on, are you getting this? Wow. As a healing ointment. It also can be made into a fragrant perfume commonly used to overwhelm the smell of death and a decaying body. So the myrrh tree, crowned with thorns, bleeds a healing flow and overcomes the stench of death. Thus Jesus, crowned with thorns, now pierced bleeds, and from his wounds crimson flows to purify the sin-stained soul. Healing all disease and woe, his blood, the balm for the death's decay, a fragrant aroma of heaven's grace. This is the comifora myrrh tree. You can see every gift to the wise men brought to Jesus was symbolic and prophetic of the life he would live. How wonderful is Jesus? How amazing is the Bible? Prophesying all these things to come. God is such an artist. He is such a beautiful craftsman that he would detail all of this for us to read thousands of years later and see the beauty of the life of Christ destined before the foundations of the world. Somebody say, Jesus was pierced so that I could be healed. Isaiah 53 says, he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Somebody say, Jesus bled so that I wouldn't have to, so that I could be cleansed. Say, Jesus rose in power so that I could rise with him. He was the one pierced. It was prophesied. It wasn't a backup plan. It was a plan in the heart of God all along that he would come, that the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The Magi, or the wise men, brought a prophetic symbol that this king would be our priest, that he would be our king and our connection to the Father, and that through his death would release healing over humanity. Thank you, Jesus. You know, some people say that being a Christian is foolish. I've met some people that think loving Jesus and believing that Jesus really rose from the dead and that he really is Lord and God, they think that that is foolishness. But I find it interesting that the wisest men in King Herod's circles, these weren't just men that had good ideas. These weren't just inventors. These weren't just scientists. These were some of the wisest men in the land that they could see through the prophecies that the anointed one was about to be born. Some of the wisest men, you think of some of the wisest people in the world, right? These men saw that the anointed one would be born and they came to Jesus. Don't tell me it's foolishness to follow Jesus. I believe it's the wisest thing you could ever do on this earth is to come and lay yourself down before Jesus. You tell anybody who tells you otherwise, no friend, the wisest thing I could ever do is lay my life down before Jesus. Not just that, but I love that they laid their gifts, their treasures, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, we also in response can learn from them that we can lay down our treasures before Jesus. It would be the wisest thing to do. The wisest thing to do is not to store up our treasures, our gifts, our talents, our skills, our plans, our dreams, and our future and hide them away in our little heart, hoping nobody would crush our dreams or that hoping that we would go poor or not go poor. Or the wisest thing, friend, you could ever do is to lay everything down before Jesus. The wisest men in the land did so. And I bet you that by the time they were old and by the time they died, they were ever so grateful that they did. That their names, not their names, but their life and their story is recorded and we read it thousands of years later. I believe that if we as a people of God would be the type of people that lay everything down before Jesus, that we would have a historic impact on the world. But if you keep things to yourself, if you keep your gifts, your talents, your treasures to yourself, you will never impact society the way that God has intended you to. Each of us have a call. Each of us have a purpose. Each of us have an anointing. Each of us, God sees and He knows our name. He knows the hairs on your head and He has a plan and a purpose to release through you. There are things that you can do that no one else can do. There are things that God wants to do in and through your life to impact the people around you. You may be the only gospel someone comes in contact with in 2024. So make your life count. Don't just live for yourself. Lay your life down before Jesus. The wisest thing you could do in praying into the new year, the wisest plans you could ever make for 2024 would be to lay your life down before Jesus. Every man or woman who has made a significant impact on the world for the kingdom of God had to come to grips with this one thing: death to self. Death to my dreams and my plans and all the things that I desire to do to build up for myself doesn't mean God can't restore those things to me, but I'm gonna lay my life down before Jesus. Some of you, as we enter into the new year, have to make a decision. What things have I been holding back from God? Can we have the worship team prepared to come and lead us and close the service today? Some of us need to come to a realization, some of us already have, but there are areas of our life that we often hold back from the Lord because we don't want Him to mess up our plans. We don't want Him to throw us in the deep end or do something scary or, oh gosh, I don't want to feel uncomfortable. Man, scrap the discomfort thing, scrap the comfort thing. I don't want to live a comfortable life. I want to live a spirit-filled life. You're not going to see any miracles. People say, well, I've never seen God do a miracle because you're too comfortable. Because you're sitting in your chair warm in the pews instead of getting out there and releasing the kingdom of God. God wants to release miracle-working power through your life, but it starts with coming before Jesus and laying your life down, saying, God, use me. Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. I pray that our government would come into a place of rest in knowing Jesus. The government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his kingdom and his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah chapter 9. This is the Lord we serve. the wise men happily laid down expensive treasures because they knew that they would encounter the greatest treasure of all. I pray that we would know that our priorities would shift, that our perspective would change, that Jesus would not just be our ticket into heaven, but He would be the prize of heaven itself. When you get to heaven, you're not gonna be like, phew, I made it. You're gonna be looking to hug and embrace the one who formed you, the one who saved you, the one who was pierced and bled for you to receive healing in your heart, soul, mind, and body. He is the greatest treasure of all. I've heard testimonies come from this church of men and women laying their life down because they knew there was a greater treasure in the presence of God. I've heard stories from some of you of how you sold your car and you gave it as an offering unto the Lord because you just want His presence. I've heard stories of people quitting their jobs that pay high salaries and becoming missionaries because He is a greater treasure than the treasures in my bank account. I've heard stories of people leaving well-deserved, well-earning careers to become ministers for the kingdom of God. I've heard people leaving things behind to be obedient to the call of God because He is the greatest treasure of all. And if you don't feel that in your heart yet, then there is more for you to grow in. There is more for you to learn of Him. There is more of you to encounter Him. God wants us, in the scriptures it says, to taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm grateful we don't just serve a God that's up in heaven, that one day when we die, we'll get to meet, but we can meet Him here on earth in His presence, in this room today, in your bedroom at home. You can walk with the greatest treasure of all of heaven and all of earth, the one the angels sing worship to and say, holy, holy, holy. The greatest treasure you could encounter in 2024 would not just be a blessing, but it would be to come into a greater experience of the love and goodness of God. Would you stand on your feet with me this morning? Can we close our eyes across the room today? Let's pray. Lord, I pray over your church, over this city and this nation, that it would be revealed that you are the greatest treasure of all. I pray, Lord, that our time in your presence would be a great joy this year. I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would grow us, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts and our minds to see the beauty of the Lord, that we would see the beauty of the gospel prophesied years and years ago, that, Lord, we would come to encounter you as Jesus, our King, Jesus, our priest, and Jesus, our Savior. Lord, we honor you. I pray, take us deeper into the love and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. With every eye closed, if you're here today and you haven't laid your life down before Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to do the wisest thing you could ever do in your life, to come before Jesus. If you're here today, then with every eye closed, I want to invite you to raise your hand to the Lord. Raise one hand to the Lord and say, Jesus, I need to lay my life down before you. Some of you need to get uncomfortable. Comfort's going to keep you from the miracles. If you decide today to lay your life down afresh before Jesus, I want to invite you to raise your hand now. There's many people lifting their hands. If for the first time, maybe you've said, I don't know about this God thing. I don't know if I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm a little bit scared to change. I don't know if God will accept me. Let me tell you, He will accept you. He'll spiritually wash you in His blood and transform you. And you will never be the same again. So be prepared to change. Be prepared for your life to be awakened. Be prepared to see the miraculous become possible. If you're here today one more time and you're saying, I need to lay my life down before Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right now. 3, 2, 1. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come before you. We come before you. Would you say this prayer with me today, church? Repeat after me. Jesus, I declare today that you are King. You are my priest. You are my Savior and my Lord. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my past and all my sin. I repent today. And I pray, Jesus, fill my life with your Holy Spirit, that I might live all my days for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, this morning, I'm gonna close in a worship song. The team are prepared to sing, and maybe afterwards, if there's time, we could sing Cornerstone as well. That was a beautiful song today that really honored the Lord. But this morning, I wanna specifically pray. I can't talk about healing and not pray for healing. I believe that Jesus is in the room. I believe the revelation that he was pierced so that you could be healed has come into your hearts and come into your spirits right now. So there's a quickening in the room of faith. So I want to invite you, if you need healing in your body of any degree, small or large, I want to invite you, would you come and stand on the right side of the altar? We want to pray for healing today, and come and stand on the right side of the altar. Come forward even now. You can come up the front. There's healing that's going to flow today because Jesus is here. If you need prayer for anything else in your life, you want someone to stand with you and pray with you, then come and stand on the left side here. Sorry, I've got the left and right back the front. You know what I mean. That side for healing, this side for prayer in other regards. We've got our team and some leaders here that would love to pray with you. Healing is flowing today because Jesus is King and He is alive. Amen? Amen? Come on, why don't you lift your hands? Turn your hearts towards the Lord and lift your heart in song to Him. So we sing, Jesus, you're beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I even feel that there are some people here today who you need healing in certain areas and you've actually just settled for it. And you've even said things like, it's just because of old age, it's bound to happen. I believe that the Lord can still heal you this morning. Amen. Don't settle for less. Have faith. Believe in the power of the gospel to work through your body this morning. Let's sing. Thank you, Naz.